next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. And the reading is from John 10, verses 11 to 18, page 1076. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, when I looked at the two Bible passages we've heard this morning, and I was deciding which one I should speak on, I was really drawn to the passage from John 10, because I love verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I love that sense of connection and relationship with Jesus that that verse promises. And it really blows my mind to think that our omniscient, omnipresent Creator God wants to have a personal relationship, a caring and intimate relationship with me, and that Jesus wants to have a part in my life, and that he's interested in all the small things that other people might consider unimportant, but that they matter so much to me. And because they matter to me, they matter to him too. So I really love this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And in Jesus' time, the shepherd would have known his sheep as individuals, and the sheep would have known his voice, and they would have come to him when he called them. And now I've got a contemporary story from Renewal magazine that is an example of that. I read of a man who was walking across country in the Holy Land. A heavy storm was imminent, and two shepherds had each brought their flock to a place of shelter. Within minutes, the flocks had become hopelessly intermingled, and the writer was wondering how the shepherds would ever be able to disentangle their sheep. He needn't have worried. Once the storm was over, the two shepherds each set out in opposite directions and each called his sheep. Each recognised the voice of its own shepherd and followed that voice. So the shepherd in Jesus' day would have known the characteristics and personality of each member of his flock, and in the same way, Jesus knows each of us intimately. The shepherd of Jesus' time, he knows all about his sheep because his life has been spent studying them and their habits, and he knows what things they should eat. He knows where the good pastures are for them. And because his livelihood depends on how they thrive, he, unlike the hired hand, he's prepared to make sacrifices for their welfare. And I want to share this morning a little bit of how I experienced Jesus' care for me when I was first appointed as children's and family worker here at St. Paul's at the end of last year. So one of the first things that I did when I was in post was to go to a Care for the Family conference for children's workers with the team from Rainbows, the people who run the toddler groups here. And so we were in a big hall. We were listening to an address by the president of Care for the Family, who's Rob Parsons, and he's a well-known Christian writer and speaker. And he said that he wanted to affirm everybody who was there and involved in children's work and to say what a great job we were all doing. But as he couldn't do it personally for everyone, someone's name had been chosen at random out of all the hundreds of people who were there as a representative, and he was going to affirm them. And so he just encouraged everybody. He said, you've got to clap for this person. You've got to applaud them and shout, stand on the chairs and cheer. And he really built it up. And then he said he's going to invite this person out and they were going to get a special presentation. And so he made this big build-up and suspense was really rising in the hall. And then he announced the name. And it was my name, Lizzie Cronin. So you just can't imagine the feeling that I had as I went up. You know, and there were hundreds of people just cheering for me and applauding. And I received my presentation, which was, you know, some chocolates and books and a DVD. And there's a picture there. I'm afraid it's very poor quality because somebody took it on their mobile phone. But that's me getting my chocolates from Rob Parsons. And I really felt affirmed. And it seemed such a confirmation of my appointment as children's and family worker here. And then, at about the same time, I went away for the weekend on a worship leader's retreat. And we were praying for each other. And then and one lady, she rushed up to me and she gave me these verses from Joshua 1:5-6. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. And that was really encouraging. A couple of weeks later, I'd forgotten about this. And I'd finished the course of Bible notes that I was reading. And I just asked God, I said, what should I read next? And I felt Joshua come into my head. And so, of course, I opened the book of Joshua and started to read it, chapter 1. And there were those verses again. And it just reminded me of that. And that very day, that very same day in the evening, we had a Rainbows prayer meeting. And we were getting together to pray for Rainbows, and particularly whether we should take on the running of the group up in King's Nympton. And Heather had printed out some different Bible verses for each of us. They were different ones for us all. And guess when I turned mine over, guess what they were? They were these verses from Joshua. So it really encouraged me, and it gave me such a sense of how incredibly kind and caring and loving God is. You see, he really, really loves us, and he loves us so much that he's prepared to die for us, to make a relationship between us possible. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I find that quite hard to get my head around, actually. It's such a big thing to think about, the huge sacrifice that Jesus made, and that actually he made it for me and for you, for us personally. And I don't think I can quite take in the greatness of it. But I do know that I'm really grateful. And verse 17 in the reading speaks of Jesus' resurrection and the fact that he's willing to give up his life, and also that he will take it up again, that he will rise from the dead, and that gives us hope for eternal life with him. And it's not just hope for the future that he offers. Look at verse 10, which is just before our reading. And this is one of my most favourite verses in the Bible. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's fullness of life now. It's not just in heaven. And maybe you've heard Simon say, it's not just pie in the sky when you die, but steak on a plate while you wait. So I'm not that keen on steak, actually. But if you said cake, preferably chocolate cake on a plate, then I'm with you. But the point is that Jesus offers us a full and fulfilling life now. He's got plans for us, and he longs for us to experience that fullness of life that he has promised. And he doesn't say that life will be easy, that he'll make life easy for us, sadly, but he does say that he will be our shepherd and our guide through it. And the good thing is that he has got first-hand experience of what our life is like, because he spent time on earth living as a man. And the picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in the passage, it's such an iconic picture. And it's easy, I think, to sentimentalise it. You know, the fluffy white lamb cradled tenderly in Jesus' arms. But I think Jesus was giving us rather a down-to-earth picture. And I don't think that sheep farmers today would be at all sentimental about the hard work and the drudgery that's involved in looking after sheep. There's a picture of a rather grumpy sheep farmer trudging through the rain. And in Jesus' time, the work of a shepherd was considered to be a low-grade task. Shepherds weren't people that were looked up to in society. And apparently, one of the rabbi's sayings was, "Repentance is hard for shepherds, tax collectors, and customs men," while shepherds were listed alongside gamblers, usurers, cheats, and robbers in various lists of undesirable professions. So Jesus identifies himself, as so often, with the outcasts of society. And I find that really encouraging. It makes me realise how much Jesus identifies with us in what can be the nitty-gritty drudgery of daily life. And actually, comparing us with sheep isn't very complimentary either. And this is what Philip Keller, who's a shepherd, says. "It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behaviour of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance." It's not good, is it? "Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, makes us his own, and delights in caring for us." But actually, I find that really comforting, because Jesus knows us, warts and all, and he loves us. We don't need to hide anything from him because he knows it already. We don't need to put up a front because he knows our inmost thoughts. And that frees us to be absolutely honest with him and to know that we're always secure in his love. Jesus also talks about the contrast between the hired hand and the good shepherd. At the first sign of trouble, the hired hand runs away, saving his own skin. And the hired hand doesn't have that special relationship with the sheep that the shepherd has. And in Old Testament times, God's people didn't have a good relationship with their leaders, many of whom certainly didn't act as good shepherds. And thinking of bad shepherds, there's a story that goes that a man observed a fellow driving a group of sheep across a field, beating a stick and yelling at them. "I thought shepherds led their sheep," said the observer. "I'm not the shepherd," came the answer. "I'm the butcher." And in Ezekiel 34, the prophet laments the fact that the leaders appointed by God to look after his people are miserable failures who have not looked after them at all, and they've let them down in every way imaginable. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals." And that's a pretty bleak picture. But then Ezekiel goes on to set out the amazing vision that he's been given for the future of God's people. So verse 11 of the same chapter. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. God himself will be the shepherd and look after his people. And this is promised again in Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. So the relationship of the sheep with the shepherd will be restored. God will bring hope to us, his sheep. And what the Old Testament looked forward to, we can enjoy now. Jesus has made this possible. In the passage from John, he's saying that he's come in fulfillment of these prophetic visions in Jeremiah and Ezekiel to invite us into close relationship with him. Unlike the ungodly leaders in the Old Testament, Jesus is the perfect leader. He's the perfect good shepherd. He will never let us down, and he's totally trustworthy. So we can see in this passage that as well as promising to be our perfect leader and guide, God considers the opportunity of a personal relationship with us to be so important that he is prepared to send his son Jesus to come down to earth to live as a man in humble circumstances, experiencing human life at first hand and ultimately dying a painful and humiliating death for us. And for me, this passage in John is all about relationship with Jesus. And it really inspires me, and I hope it does you too, to pursue that relationship. I really want to make space in my life for that kind of relationship with Jesus. I want to invite him into every part of my life. I want to ask for his Holy Spirit's transforming power. I know that won't happen without an investment of time and effort on my part. But this passage reminds me that it's worth it. Let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for that incredible offer of being in a close relationship with you. Please, will you help us as we seek to get to know you better? And thank you that we can never come to an end of your infinite capacity for love and care. Amen.